Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. We have a busy docket today, so let's get right to it. First, does anyone proofread any of the filings in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter? Second, new details in the Atlanta spa case. Third, Johnny Depp wants to appeal. Fourth, a veterinarian is in some big trouble. Fifth, a judge is in big trouble. The judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case says that the details are too sensational and impure to be released, which only fascinates me more now. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day with a bonus edition. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and hit that bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or we put up new content. Now, first on the docket, the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter. Now, I am not trying to criticize, really, I'm not, because we have all, as professional attorneys, submitted something and then later found a typographical error. It happens. When you turn out page after page and word after word, there's going to be a mistake. But more often than not, there have been filings made in this particular case where I'm just shocked that nobody actually caught these errors. As you may recall, there was a hearing that was set roughly 2 weeks ago, and then they went into a breakout section, which would have been in chambers or at the bench had we been in a real courtroom versus a virtual courtroom. And when the court came out, they said, we're vacating this hearing and we're vacating the hearing on March 22nd, which related to the motion to dismiss. As you may recall, Chad DeBell proceeded to preliminary hearing, which is a very low standard of hearing. John Pryor, his attorney, filed a motion to dismiss, basically saying there was probable cause. It was going to be denied. That was the motion that was to be heard on March 22nd. So, a motion was filed by Mr. Pryor, and somebody should have said, what the hell does this really mean? So there was, as I stated, the court had already vacated the hearing on the 22nd. So Mr. Pryor filed a notice vacating motion to dismiss. Now, let me read this to you, and you can tell me, maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but it really doesn't make much sense. You'll please take notice that the defendant, by and through his counsel of record, John Pryor, hereby vacates defendant Chad DeBell's motion to dismiss set for March 22nd, 2021. Now, sometimes courts will tell you, send out a notice. Well, this is a very poorly worded notice. Okay, I get it. They're vacating the motion to dismiss set for March 22nd. Well, does that mean they're vacating and abandoning, withdrawing their motion to dismiss, or just the hearing set on March 22nd? Now, I know some people say, Scott, don't you have better things to do? Listen, lawyers use words. That's how we make our living. And if it's jumbled, people get confused. I'm confused. Is he vacating the motion to dismiss or just the hearing? I don't know. Let me know what you think. I think that somebody needs to take a little time and possibly review the motions before they file them to see if it makes sense. And I have an idea. Read it out loud, all right? It's the best way to prove something. Read it out loud, slowly. Don't skip words. All right. Next on the docket, new details in the Atlanta spa case. We brought you the story yesterday. Robert Long, 21, was arrested in Florida. He apparently was arrested because he was the prime suspect, I believe actually turned in by his parents as the possible gunman in the spa shootings. As you know, 8 people have been killed. 6 were of Asian descent, and a lot of people were asking whether this was a hate crime. Originally, the authorities thought that this wasn't a hate crime because when they spoke with Mr. Long in an interview, he stated it had nothing to do with anyone of Asian descent. It simply had to do with the fact that he apparently has a sexual addiction and that he was trying to eradicate his addiction. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Maybe Mr. Long could have gone to that guy in Oklahoma that did kitchen table castrations if he was trying to get rid of something. Frankly, that would have been a better way to do it than go about harming innocent people. No indication as to the nationality of the other two individuals that were shot and killed. We'll continue to follow this case once formal charges are filed, and obviously we'll be interested to see whether the death penalty will be filed in this particular case. What is also interesting is that there is a new hate crime law that was passed in the legislature last year in response to the Ahmaud Arbery case, wherein it was alleged that the crime was racially motivated, but there was no hate crime statute on the books. Now there is. So hopefully something good came from the Ahmaud Arbery case in that there was new law passed. Now, in all honesty, you know, the crime of murder is murder. What their motivation was certainly goes, but motive never has to be proven. And normally the punishment is life in prison. So I'm not really sure of the rationale oftentimes for that, but it certainly makes people feel much better about it. At the end of the day, I'm not sure it really makes a big difference because normally the underlying offense, which is murder or homicide, will carry a maximum penalty of life anyway. So we'll wait and see and follow that case and see what the formal charges come out here in the next day or so. Next on the docket, Johnny Depp wants to appeal the case that he filed against a newspaper in London saying that when they stated that he was a wife beater, that it was untrue. The court found that it was substantially true. Now, obviously, this is a divorce case, and it's a libel case, but it got nasty. Surprised it didn't turn into a criminal case at one point. If you'd like to hear the calls that are the underlying basis for the vitriol between these two, hit the link above right here, and you can listen to them. Most people go away just simply shocked that these two even communicate for a few minutes, let alone for over an hour. I'm telling you, if you need some good entertainment, take a listen. Next on the docket, a prominent Florida veterinarian is in big trouble. Now, Prentice Madison is a veterinarian. He's 40 years old, and we're obviously going to give him the benefit of the presumption of innocence, but he is accused of acquiring and distribution of pornography involving children. When the phone and computer were seized from his possession, they also found various pornography involving the good doctor becoming intimate with animals. That's right. He's in big, big trouble. Somehow I don't think he'll be getting near children under the age of 18 or animals anytime soon. We'll see how that one turns out. Now, you think he's got trouble? Wait until you hear about a judge, right? A Milwaukee County, and get this, children's court judge by the name of Judge Brett Bloom, 38, was accused of uploading as many as 27 images and videos of children in various, let's just say, abused situations, and he messengered them to other individuals as well. It's alleged that the images were uploaded last fall at Bloom's home in Dane County. Nothing to indicate that he was, in fact, uploading anything at the office. The app that Bloom was using to upload his images had a username of Dom, D-O-M-M-A-S-T-E-R-B-B. The authorities also alleged that the pictures shared by Bloom in pictures and videos showed prepubescent children. That's right, toddlers. I'm telling you, that is the worst of the worst. The only time I've ever felt completely nauseous was when I had to review matters like that in a case, and I can eat my lunch over autopsy photos, no problem, but that with the kids, disturbing. And the people that do that to young children, there is a special place in hell reserved for them. We'll give the good judge, who has actually been released of his judicial duties, the presumption of innocence, and we'll see how things turn out for him. But I'm not sure he'd want to be a judge going to prison. Ooh, could be ugly. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Speaking of judges, the judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case says that the information that parties want released is too sensational and impure to be revealed to the public. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are not entitled to the truth. The federal judge in Manhattan ruled on a series of redactions proposed by Ghislaine Maxwell and the prosecutors regarding a compilation of transcripts submitted under seal by the government last month. After reviewing arguments from both sides, U.S. District Court Judge Allison Nathan allowed most of the government's redactions to remain in place over Maxwell's objections, while also adding several additional redactions at her request. Maxwell's legal team had filed 12 motions requesting that the court, among other things, dismiss all of the charges relating to her alleged role as a recruiter of young girls in the infamous and since deceased offender guy named Jeff. The government responded in February with a memorandum of law opposing Maxwell's motions, all of which were filed under seal pending ruling on the redactions. The court basically said that the name of third parties, that these individuals have an individual personal privacy interest, which outweighs the presumption of access that exists as to the limited portion of the exhibit. Nathan rejected Maxwell's objection to redactions containing information that has been made public by other means, which such information still relates to the privacy interest of third parties. Now, obviously, we would certainly like to see these reports unredacted so that we can see the names. Always funny how if somebody is rich and powerful, and I'm not saying they are in this particular case, but that seemed to be the people that that guy named Jeff and Miss Maxwell were hanging out with. So it seems like maybe they're getting a little extra protection that maybe you and I wouldn't possibly get. But color me skeptical. What can I say? We'll wait and see when those redactions are made and when the transcripts are released if we can glean who is being protected. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Today, ladies and gentlemen, there was so much stupidity out there to choose from. We just threw it all in. The first goes to this little guy running away. Check him out. Police say that this handcuffed suspect who ran from cops was charged with escape, disorderly conduct, and resisting an officer without violence. If you got to get arrested during spring break, might as well get the entire beach cheering for you as you flee the cops. Apparently, this young lad was in the police car when somebody opened the back door and the shirtless kid started racing down the beach trying to make a getaway. Obviously, he must not have realized that he was on a beach and probably couldn't run that far, let alone that he was handcuffed with his hands behind his back. Now, I've had clients do that, but they don't usually get that far. If this young fellow had talked with me, I would have told him, poor, poor decision. His friends will probably never forget. Remember that time at spring break in Florida where you got out of the handcuff, when you got out of the police car handcuffed and you almost got away? All right. So you unidentified lad, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day, contestant number one. Now, our dumb criminal contestant number two, that's right, it's Florida Tattoo Man. He makes a return. Mr. Matthew Kyle Lethem was arrested on a failure to appear on a traffic case. As you may recall, this guy was driving down the road with his AK-47 showing and caused people concern. I think what really should have caused people concern is not that he has tattoos. That's cool. The fact that he decided to put it right in the center of his face with the outline of the state of Florida on his face should give us all concern. I'm not sure he shouldn't be driving, let alone handling firearms, to say the least. And just wait, there's more. The final dumb criminal contestant of the day. Say this three times fast. Pickle packing perv popped on private premises. That's right. Police responded and arrested 47-year-old Eric DeTeague, where the police officers found him lying on his back in front of a townhouse. He was unencumbered by pants or underwear, but he did have his hand on his genitalia, and he had a pickle. The pickle, as the officer noted in his report, was that the pickle was penetrating his rectum while he was pleasuring himself with his other hand. Mr. DeTeague was arrested on misdemeanor exposure of sexual organs charge, and he's currently being held in custody on a $150 bond. That's right. Say it three times fast. Pickle packing perv popped on private premises, pleasuring himself. That's right. Our dumb criminal contestants of the day. Let me know. Whoever wins today, they'll be the Thursday winner. We'll move on to be the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Right now, though, it's got to be the pickle packing perv popped on private premises, pleasuring himself with a pickle. Let me know. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. We'll see you tomorrow.